I did tell her the ones that did not come out, they went to their homes, and that gave her an idea about who the group were, you know. So that was one time I thanked my lucky stars, though, that I listened to my mother, that we had to listen to her, and she'd just whip us to pieces if we didn't. So outside of that, I think my childhood was wonderful.
Was your father as strict as your mother?
No. He was nice as he could be and always jolly. He was a jolly person, and he always enjoyed life real well. You know, when he'd drive the Huckster wagon, he always had a lot of fun talking to the women, you know. And the little kids used to be out on the fence post waiting for him because they always give him pieces of candy when he'd come. Well, when I drove the Huckster wagon, I wouldn't stand and talk like he did, and I would come a little earlier. Well, the children wouldn't be out on the fence post waiting on him. And, oh, they get so aggravated at me, they said, oh, they would go in the home, and they say, well, Dan never stopped. And they said, well, that wasn't Dan. Says, you know Dan, how he is. He don't go so fast. And, I really enjoyed life, though. But then when I was a senior, it was the first time I ever got to go to a show. I stayed in town with a cousin of mine. And she took me to the show, and we saw the wreck of the Titanic. That was educational. Now, the folks never objected to educational, but they never allowed us to go to shows before. But I got to see Mutt and Jeff, and that was the funniest thing I ever saw. So my cousin, she said, don't you tell your mother now I took you to see Mutt and Jeff. I said, well, it was so funny. I said, why should she care? Well, she objected for seeing that, you know, but that's all right. She wrote it. But,
now, what town was that?
That was at Logansport, Indiana.
And how far away was that from
that? That was about 7 miles. My father would drive, he had a team of mules, and he had horses too, but he always drove a team of mules to go into town every week, once a week, and get groceries to sell out at the store. And it was about 7 miles from, it's, the lake is still there yet, and the store is still there yet.
How big is that? Is it like a resort, or is it a town?
Well, no, it's like a resort, you know. Now, they have boats there to rent, and then now they have cabins on that one place there away from the store where the folks that own a certain park there, and they tore down the old building, and then they got a lot of little cabins around there for people to rent. But we never had the cabins for people to rent, because when they come out campers, they'd bring their own tents and everything that way, and they'd... camp on the north side or south side of the lake. And one guy drowned out there one time. He was washing his, the fellow he worked for, the farmer he worked for, washing his car. Well, we've often wondered why that fellow drowned. We often thought maybe he was pushed off of the diving board. The reason why, there was no water in his lungs. And you know, if you drown, there's always water in your lungs. But we thought he was frightened to death as he hit the water. But I was told not too long ago that they think that the farmer pushed him off. Well, I had never thought of that before. But we was on the, we see, north side of the lake. And when we heard about it, the folks would go out and holler, you know, we could hear each other, only about a little over half a mile across, or maybe a little bit more. But we could hear. And they hollered and they said somebody drowned on the other side. So we kids were all together there, oh, about two or three families of us that used to go in together. So we run around the lake and another girl and I, we'd swim out and we'd dive down, try to see if we could find the body. And they thought that was so funny, why we would, but we wasn't afraid. But the body had pulled out just a little farther than the diving board. We figured, well, he'd not be too far from the diving board, so... We'd go out, and when we think we'd go down, we'd go down, try to feel around, see if we could find the body. So some of the guys got in a boat, and they used these grappling hooks, you know, that they two, three great big hooks fastened together. So they drug it around there a little bit. Finally, they caught a hold of this guy's galluses, and they pulled him up. Well, when they pulled him up, he had one of the oddest looks in his eyes that anything I have ever seen. I was frightened from that time on for a long time. It was a kind of a stare. I don't know what it was. It was an awful... I just don't know how to explain it. And the guy that pulled him up almost let him go when he saw those eyes. It scared him. He was an older man. and it frightened him. Well, we've often wondered then, could he have been frightened as he hit there? So I was told by somebody that they said, well, when he was said, don't you know that he was pushed off of that diving board? He couldn't swim, but we wondered why he went out on the diving board. And they said, well, the guy had coaxed him to go out on the diving board. Well, why would anybody do that? I said, Mr. Lee, he was kind of the guy that drowned was a retarded person. But why would that farmer do a trick like that? Maybe he thought he was doing something smart. I don't know. Some people do things, you know. But I those eyes, when I'd wake up at night, I could see those eyes looking at me. Well, you know, I was afraid for several years after that until I could get that off of the brain, or off of whatever you call it. And I used to be afraid then to go around past the cemetery, too. Because that was the time we talked about Ichabod Crane, you know, without headless horseman. And why I was ever afraid of that, but I was afraid for a long time. Well, what got me out of being afraid, my mother, let's see, I said we didn't stay at that big house across there, but we did. Now, part of the family did stay there for a while, and the folks went Mason Lodge. And they would leave me there with the little kids to watch them. Well, one time, Mary, that's my sister next to me, she happened to look out of the window, and we saw some guy outside. Well, I started to scream when I saw him out there, because what he done, when he saw us looking out the window, then he jumped back behind the bushes. Well, we didn't know where he was. We thought he might come to the house and maybe try to break in. I started to scream my head off, and so I ran in the bed and covered up, and the other kids, they started to scream too. We could all make a lot of noise that way. Well, when Mom come to the door, I wasn't going to get up and let her in. We had a heck of a time. She yelled at us and yelled at us. She says, what on earth is wrong with you kids? And I think one of the other kids went to the door. I wouldn't even go to the door. And she said, don't you ever lock me out again. And I said, well, I said, I was scared to death. There was somebody out there, and I was afraid he was going to get in the house. So then, about a couple weeks after that, then Mom was at the store, and I was over at this other house. Well, one of the children wasn't feeling very good or something, and I wanted to yell out at Mom to come home or come over to the house. Just as I opened the door and I hollered, somebody called my name. They didn't call my name, but they answered. And she was like what they call a morphodite, more like a man's voice, you know. Well, I slammed that door, and I ran and jumped in bed again. Well, then when Mom got there, one of the other kids, they said that they heard it, and they thought they knew who it was. And so when Mom come in, and they made all manner of fun of me for running, jumping in bed, and covering up my head, and that broke me of being afraid. From that time on, I was never afraid. Well, you know, that's odd, that anything like that, it was a psychology effect, I guess. But to be made fun of when it was nobody, it was some neighbor, you know, that we knew well, but it was a coarse voice, and of course, I don't know, I was worried about the one child that wasn't well or whatever it was, and I would yell at Mom, you know, if she'd come. And I always had to take care of the younger ones, younger me. I had two brothers older than myself, but then the other children were younger. And my mother always depended on me to take care of the family. I didn't mind that so much, but then I didn't want to get frightened either, but that was one thing that helped me get over being frightened, but I used to be afraid. And I would never put my children and lock the door, or I just put them in a closet and shut the door on them, or anything to frighten them. That's one thing I never believed in frightening children, because sometimes that lasts through adulthood when they're frightened that way, regardless what they're frightened of.
Did that happen to you?
What? No, the folks. No, the folks never did that. But it made me think of it, you know, because you read so much about it nowadays that they put in closets and everything. And then another time, we had two little calves that they come up to the window, and it was snowy and blizzardly, and you can't imagine the noise they make out there. Well, I wrote a piece in high school over that, and they said it was a very descriptive home or whatever you call it, more like a, I don't know, just a piece, you know. But those cats, they sure made a noise when they get up there and rub against that window and cold out, you know. Oh, I've had a lot of experience that way.
Do you remember stories about your birth? Where you were born and who attended you and those kinds of things?
No, I know where I was born. They have torn the building down now, but they hadn't torn it down until about 2 years ago. But they farmed the whole place. But it's about halfway between the lake and the high school that I went to high school. And I don't recall anything like that, but I do recall the day my next sister was born. And I was born in 1900, she was born in 1904. And my mother's sister, her name was Mary Garrity Gill, and she was there, and they named my sister Mary after her. Now, I remember that as if it was just yesterday, but that's as far back as I can remember on my childhood. That is, that's the farthest back that I can recall.
Have you heard stories of, was the building a hospital? Or?
No, all of us were born at home, and my father took care of all the babies. He took care of himself. When my youngest sister was born, Pop was in the bedroom with my mother, and we never heard her scream out or anything. Till after a bit, we heard a cry. So we knew, because we knew that she was expecting a baby. And they never talked to us too much about sex or anything that way. That was one thing. It was always kind of a hush-hush, you know, around. Well, I was different than that. I wrote to Washington, D.C. and got books on what to tell a child from 1 to 6, 6 to 12, and 12 on up. And I let the children read them, and I said, you read them? If I can explain anything to you, I'll try to. But I said, some things I can't explain, but I said, I'll do the best I can. Well, that helped. I think that helped my children. Mm-hmm. And when my youngest daughter was born, the next door neighbor, she was going to burn those books. She thought it was the awfulest thing that I let my children know those things. Well, before Marilyn was born, I started to get logged, you know. So the kids at school was talking. They talk, you know, they can say what they want to, but even the neighbor's grandchild was talking to my son. And he said, Mama, you're getting off, your stomach's off of me. I said, yes, but I said, you know, I work hard and I eat a lot. Well, that satisfied him for a while. Well, then he goes back to school, and he gets in an argument with this boy. So he comes home, and he asks me again. And I says, well, I'm going to tell you the truth. I said, you've been reading these books and everything. I said, me some time yet, but I said, one of these days you're going to have a little baby sister, a little baby brother. And you know, from that time on, he wanted to be a doctor, and my eldest daughter wanted to be a nurse. It was the way I did with them, and I don't think you ought to lie to children. Now, this neighbor would tell their grandchild, they said one time that Juanita found the baby out in the briar patch. So he comes over and he asks me one time, and he says, Mrs. Bowman, I want to ask you something. I says, well, all right, ask me, I'll tell you if I can. He says, where does babies come from? I said, well, now I'm going to tell you something. I said, now your grandmother, your mother don't want you to know things because they think you're too young to realize things. But I said, now, his name is Maurice. I said, now, Maurice, you go with your father to take a cow to see a bull, don't they? And I said, they have to do that because everything has to have a mama, everything has to have a papa. And I said, even bugs and worms and birds and everything has to have both. And I said, now, you go with your dad. And if you take us out to a male hog, I said, then they'll have baby piggies. Well, he knew that. He knew that from going always with his dad. And you know, to this day, that guy respects me to this day. And he turned against his mother and his grandmother. He says, they lied to him. Well, they don't forget that. And I often told some of them, I says, well, I said, it's rough when they'll lie about you. And then they said, well, my husband wasn't the father of my children. I said, well, you know, those things I don't like very well. I said, they can talk whatever they want to among themselves, but I said, they better be careful what they say about me. And these kids would get in arguments with my children, you know. Like, well, your daddy isn't your father, or that is Roy, your mother's husband isn't your daddy. Well, you know, that kind of hits kind of between the eyes. So one day, my husband's sister said to me, she says, well, you can always tell who the mother is, but you never can tell who the daddy is. I said, well, is that where they're getting all these rumors around here and all these lies about Roy's not my children's father? I said, how do you know? I said, you don't see any man using me. And I said, how do you know whether he's a father or not? And I said, why do you tell that way? I said, you had to get married. But I said, just because you had to, I didn't have to. But I said, don't tell people that he's not the father. I said, he's the only man I ever wanted to marry. And I said, I don't plan on ever getting married again. I said, I'm one of those types that I don't have to have a man all the time. I don't have to have a man if I ever lose him. I said, I don't have to. Well, they just couldn't understand it, you know. What I haven't put up with in-laws is a whole book. I could write a whole book of them. And why has always been a mystery to me. They hated me because I always seemed so jolly and happy all the time. Well, I tried to be happy. I never had the best of things in my life. And a lot of my stuff now has been given to me by some of my family or anybody gives me anything I take. A lot of them don't match up or anything, but that never bothers me. And my home is a home. It's not just a house. And I don't make it so nice that the kids can't play in the house or they can't bring their friends to their home. I said, this is a home. I want you to bring your family and your friends here. When you go out with anybody, you can come home with your friends. Then that way I know whom you with. And I said, I try to teach you about things and about, I don't want you to learn to smoke. I don't want you to learn to drink. And I said that those things, you begin them. Well, I said, you just have to keep them up. And that is, they turn out, and that's where your harm comes in time. Now, I said, as far as going to shows, you can go to shows. But I said, now, when you ever get married, you choose your own. I don't choose them for you. And I said, I don't want you running home to Mom about any troubles. I said, work it out yourself. And I said, if you have any family, I said, don't bring them home for Mom to take care of them. I said, you take care of your own family. And I said, now, as far as politics, you vote for whom you want to. I said, if I vote one way and I vote another, I said, you vote the way you want to. I said, you study on the issues and study on them. And I said, you vote your way. And I said, when you go to church after you're married, I said, I'd like for you both go to the same church and join the same church. Doesn't make any difference what it is, just so you have religion. But have religion in the home to begin with. And I said, that means a world of things. And I had someone tell me the other day that they think that's one thing, that some family has turned out like they have. They never took them to church. They never have religion in the home. Well, I never thought of it quite in that way, but now I can see it. And I believe that's the whole truth. Regardless what church they want to go to, I said, join any church that you want to. But I said, and vote whichever way you want to. But I said, be honest with everything. And I am proud of my family. I'm proud that I did like I did, but by taking psychology in college has helped me, too, with the children. And I never had to whip my children like a lot of people does, too, and I never was mean to my children. They might have thought I was, because I was kind of strict with them, because I wanted them to do what's right. I said, that's the main thing, that I want you to be honest and do what's right. And I'm not ashamed of my family. I said, they didn't get in trouble. I always told them, though, I said, now, one thing I'm going to tell you, if you ever get in trouble, you're going to have to get out yourself, because we haven't got the money to pay it off. Pay off, you know, to get you out. And I think that makes a lot of difference, too. Nowadays, I think there's too many parents, they don't care what their children does. They kick them around and like abuse, child abuse. All you see anymore in the papers is child abuse and how the men used to beat up on their wives. I said, my husband will never beat up on me but once. He tried it once, and he was sorry for it, because I filed for divorce right away. And he never touched me again. That is, be mean to me again. But that really, that hurt him, because all they said, oh, they didn't think one either of being a Christian would ever file suit. I says, I always said I'd never take it off a man to beat up on me. I said, I've seen too many men beat up on their wives when they absolutely don't have to take it. And I said, I won't take it. But another thing, I was always afraid to fight back, because I was a swimmer, and I said I was strong. And if I'd strike a certain way, I could have killed him. And I didn't fight back on that account. But my children fought for me. And you know, that hurt worse than anything. But he struck me once, and that's the only time he ever did. He gave me a black eye, but he never gave me another one. Because I always said that he'd never do it but once. And I said, I meant just what I said. But I told my lawyer, I said, I was afraid to strike back. But I said, I'm going to tell you something. I said, if we ever go back together, I don't think we ever will, because I said, he don't want to be bothered with us. His people don't want to be bothered. And I said, they want what we've got. I said, I never saw a family like them. All they're after is an almighty dollar. Well, I had to have money to make a go of it, but money was never my, that was never my God. And I told the lawyer, I said, another thing, I said, if he ever attempts to strike me again, I said, I'm going to fight back. And I said, I don't know what will happen. I said, I don't want to ever harm him, but I said, I'll fight back again, because I said, I will not take that off of any man. I used to say I wouldn't take a cussing off of anybody. And one time we had a neighbor, he drank so much. And he was laying out by the lake, you know, pretty close to the edge. So a bunch of us kids, we went in to swim. And I told the others, I said, take, you help me. I said, you take hold of his head or shoulders, and I'll take hold of his feet. We'll drag him back away from the lake so he won't roll in the lake, because he'll have to roll in and drown. So we pulled him back. He started to cuss me, because I was the main one of doing it. I was the older one of the bunch, you know, so they helped me, you know. And he started to cuss me. And I said, you know, I always said I never take a cussing off of anybody. I said, children, I said, grab a hold of him. Let's put him back where he was. They wouldn't do it. They said, oh, no, Juanita, we don't want to do that. I said, all right, I will. I'll pull his feet back this way. We only got his shoulder pulled back. Put him right where he was laying. When I went home, I told my mother about that. And I told her, I said, well, I always said I would never take a cussing off of anybody. I said, boy, did he ever cuss me for pulling him away from the lake. I told him, I said, if you want to drown, go ahead and drown. That was the way I said to him. But I didn't push him in the lake or anything, because the children was there and they saw it. So I told him, but a few days after he got sober, you know, he come to the store and he said, you know, Mag, he said, I thought that one of yours was going to drown me the other day. And Mom says, why? He says, well, she first pulled me away from the lake with a bunch of children, and then she pulled me back where I was laying and told me if I wanted to drown, go ahead and drown. He said, I thought she was going to drown me. The children thought so at first, too, I think. Oh, God. I said, if I had been a hole, I'd probably roll him in the water and then pull him back out, is what I probably should have done. Then he would have thought I was going to drown him. But it was shallow. He wouldn't have drowned unless he would fall in on his face, and that's what he might have done by being drunk, you know. But, I've had a lot of episodes like that. Mm-hmm. Then another one, she wanted me to teach her how to swim. That was one of my neighbor's ladies. And she came out here one time. She said, Juanita, said, you know, you tried to drown me one time. I said, why did I try to drown you? I said, I never tried to drown anybody. She said, well, you know, you took me out in the boat. Well, what we did, we go right close to the lilies, where it used to be yellow lilies, you know, they only be about that deep. And I drove my boat there, and I said, now you jump out and you swim. I said, you make your arms and your feet go. And I'd pull the boat a little bit and make her do it, you know. But she could have stood up if she'd have done it, but she didn't think about that. And I knew she wouldn't drown because I was right there and I could have helped her anyway, but that I was too close to the, where those water lilies, and they're not very tall, you know. I don't know if you ever seen any yellow ones or not, but these are the yellow ones. The white ones were at another part of the lake. And so she learned to swim that way. Because I said, well, all you need is just your confidence. And I said, you've got to make your arms and your hands go any way you want to. I said, like a dog or out or up above or anyway. But I said, you do it while she learned to swim. So one morning or one day, her mother came down to the landing where we kept our boats. And she says, where's Lucille? He says, oh, she's out there in the middle of the lake with one of the other boys. His name was Mac at that time. Says, out there in the middle of the lake, and oh, she says, wait till I get a hold of that girl, I'll skin her alive. So she runs around the other lake to meet them when they got out of the lake. Boy, they run home like nobody's business. But she could swim all right, and both of them could swim, so they didn't get out too far. But what, we could jump in the boat and probably got out, and I'd have jumped in after them or helped, you know. I never was afraid of anything like that. But that was so funny. So I told the mother, I said, well, she learned to swim. That's what she wanted to do. She said, Justin, you about drowned her to do it, didn't you? I never realized that until she made that remark. So I said to the folks, well, Pop used to come home off the Husky wagon when he was driving. He said, well, then I'm drowned today? Because some of them would talk that way, you know. And I said to Mom, I said, how come they're talking that way? She said, well, some of them think you're going to try to drown some of the kids. Well, I said, Mom, I won't try. If I want to drown him, I'll drown him. She said, don't you talk like that. I said, well, you just tell him that. I said, if any of them says that to you anymore, you just tell him. Well, when he just won't, imagine she will. I said, if she's going to drown any of them, she'll drown them. Oh, God. But, I wouldn't do anything like that. But why would people talk that way? I don't know.
Well, how did your mother and father make decisions? How were decisions made in their house?
Well, they'd work together to make them. Mom sometimes would make them, maybe Pop wasn't home, but they talked things over and like they should. And that's what I always figured, if I got married, I should do that with my husband. Then if you don't work with me, what are you going to do? Then I got independent and did whatever I wanted to then. I couldn't do too much, but I could do some things. But they work together, and that's what makes a home. You're supposed to work together. But when somebody's back of them or trying to go along or against you, well, how are you going to do? I was always outspoken, and I suppose that's one reason why they didn't like me too well, because if I had anything to say, I said it. And I wasn't around the bush about it, and I always told them I'd back what I had to say. And I know my... One brother of my husband's, he was in France during the war. And you know, some of the first people were in the United States people to help take care of those children that was born from the United States men, you know. So I asked Sam one time, I said, how many little souvenirs did you leave over there? Well, he kind of hated me for ever saying that, so... I'd get with a bunch, and I said, I just wonder how many little souvenirs Sam left in France. Now, my son says, Mom, you should never talk that way. I said, well, they say anything to me that they want to say, and I said, I take it good natured, but they never like to take it that way. But that was funny, though. That really was funny for me to say, how many little souvenirs did you leave over there? And I don't know, maybe he did leave some. I don't know, because, someone said, when he said, you know, Sam hates you worse than a rattlesnake. I said, well, why? I said, I didn't do anything. And when he got married, he thought he was going to get to farm his in-law's place. Well, they let her brother farm the place, and they wouldn't let him. Well, I used to hand that back to Sam. I said, Sam, how come you married Millard? I said, you're twice her age. He was 34 when she was 17, but she was almost 18. She was 18. You see, they was married in Flag Day, that was June the 14th, and she was 18 in August the 24th, I believe it is. I got it on the calendar. August, anyway. But he was 34. He was just twice her age. And I used to say to him, I said, Sam, how come you married Mildred? And then I'd tell him, I said, how do you like the big farm you got? Oh, he could kill me for that. But I thought, well, they would say anything to me, but they'd say things that wasn't right, you know. Well, that really hit, you know. I could hit the nail on the head that way. Well, anyway, his sister then, she said she was going to have a big farm. She was going to marry him. That was right over the, over the road on the other side of where we live. And she was taking care of this man's wife at the time. So she used to brag, well, she was going to get that 120 acres or whatever it was, you know. My golly, one of these days his wife died, and she had to get married. Well, they could never fling that into my face, but that was one thing I think always hurt them, because they couldn't fling things like that into my face. I was a teacher. Wouldn't that have been awful if I had got married? That would have been a terrible thing. And my mother would probably disown me if I'd ever had to got married. So I was a respectable woman, and I am to this day. I said, I don't have men running here. And she marries him. And she only has one child. And you don't see how she reared up that one child. She used to go against me the way I did with my family. But they gave him everything he wanted. And he could have had anything he wanted down through the years and been made good at it. He run through with all the money that she got from the home place. And they sold it. They sold it and got plenty of money out of it. But he run through with it. Because she'd have to back him on the notes and everything. He bought all kinds of machinery and an automobile to get a squeaky at it. He'd go buy another new automobile before he'd get the one paid for. But I said, the way they reared him, I said, they gave him everything he had. I said, my children couldn't have very many things because they went against one thing that I wanted my children to have, and they should have, because I worked hard to try to get for my children. I did the best I could. But I said, I'll put up my children, I'll put up Sam's family. He had 13 children, 12 boys and one girl. And they all turned out nice like mine, but it was, I'll give him the credit for that. That is, I'll give the mother credit for that. And I wouldn't give Sam so much credit because I know when they had two children and they had twins. No, they had one child and then they had twins. So I said to Sam one day, I said, well, why don't you call it quit and stop? He says, no, it's going to be more than many. Well, he had 13 children. I never saw anything like it, but they all turned out good. I'll say that. Every one of them turned out real good. And just like mine, I'm proud of mine, and I told Millie, I stayed at her house tonight.